Because you see, there's two ministries of the Holy Spirit. Here it is. Listen carefully. One is to reveal Jesus to the believer, and the other is to reveal Jesus through the believer. That's when you graduate. Because if it's just here to the believer, then we're called a cul-de-sac. Over here, we're called a conduit. And all of the capacity of heaven can flow through us. But it doesn't effectuate from us, remember that. It actually goes through us.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Gradero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. We hope your day has been going well, but if it's been one of those kind of days where you'd rather be sitting in a devil chair getting a root canal, cheer up, my friend. Pastor Wayne has a message just for you. Open wide your heart to receive the word. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, The Anointing.
Well, today we're going to talk about something that you may not have thought much of before, but I want to bring it down to where we live, because sometimes the things of God seem out of reach, and we don't want it there. We want it within our grasp. And today I want to see if I can do that. But first, a funny story. A guy went to a men's, we have a great men's group here, by the way, on Saturday morning, so if you ever are around 8 o'clock, but this guy came back from a men's conference, and the speaker was talking about, be the head of your home, be the head of your home. So he said, okay, all right. So he went home, and he opened the door, and he said, I'm the head of the home. And every night when I get back from work, I want my dinner on the table. And after that, you need to run the shower for me. And when I'm done with the shower, you bring my bathrobe and my slippers, iced tea right next to the couch. And when I sit down, guess who's going to comb my hair? His wife said, the funeral director. Don't mess with your wife. You've heard of stuff that seems to be out of our reach, like the priesthood of the believer. You think, what in the world? The authority of the believer, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Those things seem to be so far out of reach, but I want us to understand those because it has such a bearing on our life and what our purpose is for him creating us and putting us here on this earth at this time. Do we have a purpose? You know, in Sunday school, they would teach with parables and object lessons, etc. And today I want to kind of come back to that. How many of you remember the flannel graph? Flannel teaching, yeah. That's back in the 1800s. And today we have digital. But still yet, these are object lessons and they're parables. In fact, Jesus would be a really good Sunday school teacher. You know why? Because he taught in stories. He would tell a story. Out of it would be a lesson. And he would use object lessons. The fig tree. I see that farmer over there. There was a farmer that sowed seed and some fell on good ground, some rocky, weedy, and good, and bad soil. And then he would say, look at the birds of the air. And he would use whatever would be around for people to catch the story, and then he would tell a lesson from that. Well, today I want to do the same thing as we talk about the priesthood of the believer. You say, what in the world does that mean? There is something that God gives to us when we come to know him. And there's going to be stuff that you're only going to learn after coming to Christ. Because before, you won't understand it. You won't need it. But when you come to Christ, there's so much to unpack that it'll take a lifetime of learning. So today, we'll learn just a little bit more. First, a story. There was a man who, from Europe, wanted to go to the new land called America. But he wasn't that wealthy. So he sold everything he had in order to get a ticket, one passage from the Europe side over to America, a 3-week journey or so. Well, because he had sold everything, he didn't have enough for food. So he went to his friends and asked them for bread and cheese to keep him nourished at least for that three-week journey that was going to go across the Atlantic. Well, finally, he boarded the ship, and the ship took off, and every day in his room, he would eat cheese and bread. But he was going across the Atlantic. Towards the end of those 3 weeks, one of the stateroom orderlies noticed that he hadn't come out of his room for quite a while, so he knocked on his door. And when that man opened the door, he saw shards of bread and cheese, moldy cheese, in fact, on the floor. And the orderly said, "What is this?" And the man said, well, you know, I just had enough money to buy one ticket to get across the Atlantic. And I didn't have enough for food, so this is what I ate the last almost 3 weeks. And the orderly said, didn't anyone tell you that when you bought a ticket, we would have included in that ticket a buffet every day upstairs? That's included in your ticket. You know, I wonder if we as Christians a lot of times we live that way, way beneath our inheritance, way beneath what eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man, the things which God has promised. Did you know that average America, about 95% own a computer, a personal computer? How many of you own a computer at the office or at home? Raise your hand. Yeah, like a ton of us. But did you know, average-wise of Americans use their computers only about 10% of its capacity. We have this massive computer capacity, and we use it for email. And maybe if we're advanced in our technology, we use it to stream a movie once in a while off of Netflix. That's it. And a ton of its capacity is never used. And I thought, we're like that as Christians. I mean, we have so much in store for us, and we only do email. We only do a little bit. Well, today, I want you to know that every single one of us has what the Bible calls an anointing. An anointing. It's not something reserved for the elite, celebrities, pastors, or elders. In fact, the book of Peter says we are all royal priesthood, holy nation, a people after God's own possession. And the Holy Spirit has been given to every single one of us. When you come to Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit and the capacity of heaven. Question is, how much of that are you going to use? Otherwise, we'll go through life doing email when it has so much more. We want to talk about that. And the Bible calls it the anointing. We missed that today. We want to grasp it. Let's read what the scripture says. Would you read it? And I'm, again, sorry, it's 1 John 2, 20 and 27. But read it out loud with me on the board. Go. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. And as for you, the anointing which you receive from him abides in you. It's nothing temporary. Then when you make a mistake, there's something that goes wrong, God yanks that away from you. No, it abides in you. Let's continue in verse 27, and it says this, and you do not need anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is, it's real. See, the anointing is not designed to make you impressive. The anointing is designed to make you useful. It's not to give you status, it's to give you purpose. But sometimes we settle for so much less. But yet, when we come to Christ, we've got to learn this. Why is it so important that we all understand that God has a far greater capacity through us than we realize? The reason is because every person in this place is absolutely vital for the church to work properly. Not just up front, not just those, their celebrities or pastors or elders, every single one of us. Each person is absolutely vital for the church to work properly. Now, without you knowing it, you've already experienced some of the anointing. Maybe you called somebody, God laid someone on your heart, and you just called them just at random, just to see how they're doing. Little do you know that when you called, that person says, I was in the middle of a crisis and your call meant more than you'll ever know. Then, wow, I didn't know. But you see, God uses you through which he's going to work. Not, it doesn't effectuate from you, but it will effectuate through you. But you have to remember this, listen carefully. God blesses motion and God blesses movement. Because if we'd never have done that, then nothing would have happened. But little do we know, even though we don't know why, we just got a nudge and something of divine order takes place. You can see it in other places where when you say something, someone will say, wow, I've been struggling with that for years. And in fact, just recently I came out of a Bible study and this lady came up to me and she said, thank you. I said, for what? She said, you know, I was listening to the teaching, and there's a question I've been wrestling with for 20 years since my brother died. And today God answered it. I thought, wow, don't blame me because I didn't know what I was saying or doing. In fact, tell me what that was so I can take notes on that, you know. But you see, there's an anointing that takes place that all, it abides in you if you'll just do as God asks, not knowing that you're going to do any good, but you obey and something wonderful takes place because it doesn't effectuate from you. But God blesses movement and the Holy Spirit is able to move. His anointing will nudge you. He'll kind of give you a little push and you'll obey. You'll do a study. You'll lead a group, not knowing that God's going to use that in totally eternal ways. Now, on the other hand, you will have the Holy Spirit, as verse 27, he'll teach you all things. And it doesn't mean you have no need for advice or counsel. It just means the priority counselor will be right here in you. So you don't need to look for another speaker, another conference or another something. It's like the Holy Spirit says, I'll teach you. I'll work with you. I will be your priority counselor. In fact, the word paraclete or the word for the Holy Spirit is a counselor. And in fact, the Lord himself was called a wonderful counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God when he was born. So that priority counselor is there to teach you all things. And he'll nudge you when you're going the wrong way. Not only nudge you to go the right way, he'll nudge you if you're going the wrong way and kind of redirect you. I mean, how many of you have kind of felt something that we call a check? Something wasn't quite right and you got a flag. Something wasn't right. And the Holy Ghost just checked you. How many of you would say, yeah, I felt that before. Yeah, look at that. So many of us. You see, the anointing of God is moving. The question is, will you heed that nudge? By the way, did you know that the Lord's Prayer in part goes like this? Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us what? Not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Did you know the original does not really say, and lead us not into temptation. The original actually, because God doesn't lead us into temptation. The original actually says this, and it's just lost a little bit in translation from whether it's Hebrew or Greek or Aramaic into Latin and then into English. But what it actually means in its original is not lead us not into temptation. It actually says, and lead us away from temptation so that we'll not be harmed by the evil one. And you'll sense the Holy Spirit nudging you away from that. And you get to heed that. The question is, will you heed it? Or will you mute it? I was just came back from Hawaii just a little bit ago, and I was teaching some conferences there. And I went to the hotel desk, and I noticed a little bell like this. I brought it. I stole it from the desk there. And I needed an illustration, you know, and when she wasn't looking. But not really. I bought it off of Amazon. But there's this thing, a little bell there, and there was nobody there. So I hit it, and nobody responded. No one paid attention. Nobody again. So I hit it again. And then this short lady that was behind a computer, I didn't even see. She's only like this tall. And she said, I'm here. And she raised her hand. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bother you. Oh, no. She says, no problem. No problem. I'll be right there. And she got up and waited on me and got everything together. And I thought, wow, that's cool. You just hit once or twice and she answers, you know. I'm thinking, I wonder how many times the Holy Ghost has to hit the bell to get our attention. Let me tell you what happened. I go to the rental car and I rented this Subaru, a new Subaru, and it's got all these bells and whistles that make you sick and just everything on it and dings and dangs and whoops, not that one. But I get this thing rented and I'm going to pay for, you know, at the gate, you got to give me your driver's license. So I'm getting my wallet out and this thing is going. And I'm thinking, where in the world is, and it's a thing to get your seatbelt on. And if you don't put your seatbelt on, and then this is a crazy demonic thing, it starts doing this. If you don't put it on, I am not exaggerating. I stop the car and I put it on. Stop it. And then I go to pay for it, and you know, and it starts up again because I got to take the belt off, right? And then starts doing this. I'm paying for this thing. And then it starts doing this. And it is so excruciatingly torturous. It's painful after a while. So, and you know, at first I was going to put it on, but now I think I won't, just to bug you. And then it keeps going faster and faster and faster like this. So finally, I have to put it on. Otherwise, I'll go crazy because about this time, I have no choice but to put it on. I'm wondering if sometimes the Holy Spirit has to do that so many times so that we don't have a choice but obey God. That our life is going down, we're at the edge of the precipice, we're about ready to be destroyed, the consequences are so large, we don't have a choice at this point. You think that pleases God? Or maybe when he does, I go, got it, I'm there. You see, the Lord doesn't want to take us to the brink of destruction until we have no choice left. He wants us to steward our choice. Because he doesn't just want our compliance, he wants our heart. And if it comes to a point where he just keeps clanging, and he will if he needs to. But my prayer is that, Lord, help me to be someone who hears your voice early on with just one, and you got my attention. And when that happens, the anointing actually increases. Do you know that? Because you're learning to hear the voice of God and stay in step. Some of you, in your life, the Holy Ghost has been clanging this for a long time, hasn't he? He's waiting for your attention. The question is, when will you do that? Because you can harden your conscience and harden your heart, and you can actually deafen your ears to the Holy Spirit. But when you become cognizant of his presence, he can move through you like a flood. And even though you don't think you're a celebrity or a special person, he'll use everything you got. And you use it the advance of the kingdom. Because you see, there's two ministries of the Holy Spirit. Here it is. Listen carefully. One is to reveal Jesus to the believer. And the other is to reveal Jesus through the believer. That's when you graduate. Because if it's just here to the believer, then we're called a cul-de-sac. Over here, we're called a conduit. And all of the capacity of heaven can flow through us. But it doesn't effectuate from us, remember that. It actually goes through us. Sometimes we get the wrong idea that when we come to Christ, and if we're going to get energetic and really faithful, we say, I'm going to work for God. No, when you understand the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you change your prayer and you say, Lord, come work through me. Yeah. See the difference? One is my capacity, the other is heaven's. That's when you start to understand the anointing. Instead of saying, I'm going to live for God, God, come live through me. And then you just speak and carry on, and God begins to use it. You don't realize, you don't even know what you're saying. Because a lot of people say, well, yeah, if God opened up the door, I don't even know what to say. Well, the scripture says it's okay. It's all right. Yeah, but one guy came to me and said, what if I don't even feel it? Then it's not real. I can't feel the Holy Spirit. I said, you have to feel it? Yeah, I got to feel it. I said, no. I said, can you feel air? No. Does that mean you're suffocating right now? No. I said, feeling's not the test of reality. Lack of feeling does not equal lack of reality. And then I said, can you feel your brain? He said, no. Does that mean you have no brain then? No. I said, you know, for your case, I can make an exception though. Yes. See, the Holy Spirit's going to work. One guy said to me, well, you know, you don't know what my past is like, Wayne. It's just terrible, terrible. How can God use me for the kingdom? I said, because you're his son. And the anointing is not temporary. It abides. You might not use it. You can mute his voice. You can ignore it. But it's still there when you're ready. And I pray, my prayer is that we don't go to heaven without having used the capacity of heaven that he wanted to run through you, to your kids, to your neighbor, to anybody. Well, but you just don't know. My past is really bad. So I pulled out some money. In fact, I have some here. This is a $100 bill. Would you like $100? I'm thinking about giving this away. Would somebody take that? You'd like that. Yeah, yeah. Let me use this first, though. Let you sit there and think about it. Yeah. Okay, I'm thinking about giving this away. All right, it's a $100 bill. What if I did this? Would you still take it? Yeah. Well, what if I did this? Would you still take it? Well, sure. What if I did this? You're stupid. You're an idiot. You're nobody, nothing. You're never going to amount to anything. Would you still take it? Yeah. You see, there's a lot of times we think that just because we've been abused, people have spoken poorly about us, we've been stomped on, pushed aside, that we're not valuable anymore to the kingdom. And the king says, I made you. The value is here. It's in you. That has not changed. You're still valuable. You still want this? You want this? Yeah, yeah, forget it. You ain't getting it anyway. But you understand, God is saying, I have the anointing for you because I'm going to work through. Oh, you don't know what I've done. No, no. The Holy Spirit, even as we are right now, is going to reveal Jesus and his love and his heart to you. The heart of the Father. But what if I don't know what to say? The Lord will guide you. In fact, let's read this next scripture out of Luke chapter 12. Would you read it nice and loudly? Go. When you are brought before the synagogues, rulers, even authorities, do not worry about what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should. Ah. You just open your mouth. Remember, God blesses movement, not passivity. Sometimes I'll go to the supermarket and when I'm done paying, I just say, thank you, and God bless you. You'll be surprised how many of them will all of a sudden wake up, and I realize how many Christians there are out there that just kind of blended into the woodwork, but all of a sudden, just one phrase wakes them up. Oh, thank you. I needed to hear that. Now, every time I go to that supermarket, this lady comes up, hi, hi. I say, well, how are you? God bless you. Thank you. They just have to remember who they are. And maybe your words can be used by the Holy Spirit, something almost benign that will awaken them. That's who I am. I'm a daughter of the King. Thank you for saying that. You see, the anointing wants to flow. The question is, will we tap into that capacity at all? Or will the enemy just keep us mute? We've got to be able to speak. You've got sons and daughters that we need to have spoken to. Words that would give them direction. Words that will give them hope. Yeah, but Wayne, what if I make a mistake? Is your heart good? Yes. Then Romans 8:28 comes to play. It says this, he will work all things together for good to those who are loving God and are the called according to his purpose. Do you love God? Yeah. Are you called? Do you want to have purpose in life? Yes. Then you do the best you can. Why? Because the Bible says in John 16, the Holy Spirit then swoops in and guides you. Can you remember this? Just one. And when he speaks, when we listen, I tell you, he'll begin to move in great ways. Father, thank you so much for a wonderful family called New Hope that we're learning, growing day by day, becoming more and more like you. And for each of us, Lord, a little bit more like you as we leave this place, may it be. And then help us to listen to your voice in the slight nudges, either toward or away from. Help us to do that. And the little nudges to say a word, to speak. Lord, help us to be a people of the anointing. Thank you for that. And now we want to pause and say thank you for all that you do, because everything comes from you, comes through us, not from us. But may we indeed say, come live your life through us. Come speak through us. Come do your work through us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And we say together, amen, amen, and amen.
You've been listening to a message entitled The Anointing by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for tuning our way. Keep in mind, you can listen to Pastor Wayne anytime, day or night, on your favorite podcast site.
You can now catch Pastor Wayne's messages anytime, any day on your favorite podcast site. Just search on keyword Pastor Wayne. Stream the messages or download them from Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or many other platforms. Again, search on keyword Pastor Wayne and listen anytime, 24/7.
Now, for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you with His anointing today and every day. Aloha.